Jim Namalis with Green Teak Hotels in Costa Rica talks about the trendsetting hotel group's four distinctive properties set within four of the country's five tropical forests and the group's intrinsic philosophy of trendsetting environmental sustainability. Villa Blanca is set high in the cloud forest, while Sicomo No Resort and Wildlife Refuge in Manuel Antonio National Park is cliffside overlooking the Pacific. Aguila de Osa Rainforest and Marine Adventure Lodge is tucked at the edge of ultra-romantic Drake's Bay, less than 20 miles from the Panamanian border on the Pacific. And then there's the way cool Santa Juana Rustic Retreat, hunkered high on a jungle mountainside with panoramic vistas of the ocean below. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at Sicomo No Resort for a conversation with Jim Damalis, general manager. And he's the visionary behind the creation of the Green Teak Hotel Group. Jim Damalis's tenacious, multifold ecological quest to respect the environment reveals why Green Teak's environmental trendsetting practices is one of the many reasons why Costa Rica is on target to become the world's first carbon-neutral country in the world by mid-century.
So we're here in Manuel Antonio, which is Sicomo No. And if we wanted to be in the cloud forest, we'd be in San Ramon at Villa Blanca. If we wanted to be in the most remote, pristine part of Costa Rica, we'd be in Drake's Bay at Aguila Rosa. And as you saw today, we were up in the rural village of Santa Juana at the lodge.
What I'd like to do is rewind. So fascinating to me. You bump into guys like you around the world, and it's like, how did you get here? So fascinating that so often it's serendipity or happenstance.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're looking for a free meal, you take advantage. And at the time, I knew two wonderful Costa Ricans. Actually, they were half Tica and half U.S. citizens. And when they found out their uncle was nominated president of Costa Rica, this was 1974, and they said, Jim, you want to come down and hang out? We're going to see Uncle Daniel's inauguration. So I decided to join them, and I took my backpack and all my gear. And I was at the time in graduate school, so I said, I can take a week off, and came down to Costa Rica. And that's how I discovered it by accident. So as a result of that, I was lucky enough after the inauguration to come down to Manuel Antonio, get out my camping gear.
You were the first to do that, right?
Yes. Well, I was the idiot that did that because everybody else said, why do you want to camp on our beaches? Because it was the rainy season. And as I discovered, the water-resistant tent became my own waterbed. I survived the night and decided that would be my only experience on the beach, but I could brag about the gym camped on what is now the National Park of Manuel Antonio and survived, yeah.
So you went back home, and you were smitten, though. You kept coming back and visiting. But the parallel, you had a career that you were working on in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, I decided when I went back that I wasn't going to finish graduate school because I had been studying theater arts at UCLA. And in graduate school, it got real boring in California. And so I came back and became a greensman. I got a gig on a movie through a casting director, Davis at Casting, who her boyfriend was building a house in Manuel Antonio. So through my visit to Manuel Antonio and my camping experience, I got my first gig on a movie called The Macho Cage, which I was the greensman on the film. And that introduced me to a wonderful art director. And together, I was the prop master. He was the art director. And we made about maybe 100, 110 commercials together. And in between commercials and theatrical trailers and promos and documentaries and what have you, I'd come back to Costa Rica and spend time falling more in love with the country.
And at some point, there was that shift in your life. At some point, you decided to pull the plug and come down and find out what the rest of your life was going to hold for you, and you didn't know.
Well, some things are impulse. Got to take some risks in life. And I decided if I was going to make a living in Costa Rica, what could I do? Well, I wasn't into farming. I didn't know how to produce coffee, but I knew how to produce a set. I knew how to produce a look and feel. And so we started building Sicomo No from scratch, found two very creative architects who I was able to work with my art directing background, and together we created the basis for Sicomo No.
And Sicomo No, when you did this and started out in 92, this was kind of the infancy of the hospitality industry in this area, right?
I hate to be referred to one of the pioneers because it makes me feel really old, but we, back in 92, there wasn't much of a hotel industry in Costa Rica. So we started out with other expats and Costa Ricans we started from scratch. So there was no model to follow. So back to instincts, back to what you enjoy doing or what you know how to do. And with me, it was creating atmospheres and building a hotel that would also reflect my background as a Sierra Club, tree hugger, backpacker kind of guy who said, let's build a hotel that wouldn't impact the environment.
This is back in 92. Mm-hmm. You had that real forward vision of a beyond sustainable.
And fortunately, coming from California, where a lot of us hippies were into conservation, even back then, we were all involved with everything from Save the Bay, Save the Dolphins, a lot of things that had to do with conservation. I came here very influenced with those ideas. And when I saw how beautiful the country was, my first instinct was, let's not, you know, like Joni Mitchell, let's not turn it into a parking lot. So we wanted to set an example. And when our architects and my engineer got together and we decided to build the hotel, it was to build around the forest, not remove the forest. So there were no big tractors and land movers and things like that. So we carefully set each building over five phases until the year 2000, we finished the last phase. So we were able to do it, removing only one tree, which we're very proud to say, was,
wow.
Which kept the birds and the monkeys, the corridors, the natural shade. But we built it with a lot of sustainable ideas, from insulation, proper positioning of the buildings, where we choose to put the door and the window, the air flows. Everything had to do with comfort with the least amount of energy. And a lot of those ideas were already being thought through in California, which was very progressive, but in Costa Rica was brand new.
There's a disconnect having to do with water conservation. We were both up in the mountains a couple hours ago when it was torrential rain. Right now it's the green season. It's literally the wet season. And it, what, 250 inches a year where we were?
Yeah, but 200 inches of welcomed rain. Mm-hmm. Because when you have right topography and if you have the right biodiversity, you can handle that rain without having huge landslides and a lot of people flooding and suffering. Because in this area especially, we have conserved the biodiversity so that the mountains still have trees on them. And when you keep the trees on a mountainside, chances are you won't have a landslide. And so everybody wins.
But back here to town where you have your inn, you basically have water conservation. You have limited access to water without paying a premium or getting shut off.
Always the problem, Tom, is delivery. And bringing the water from the mountain to here is expensive. And so they're limited on the capacity of the water systems, the pumps, the storage tanks. So in our dry season, we have to be very careful because if there's too much demand, like a very popular week, say, spring break or Christmas, if we don't conserve water, we're in trouble. So that's why our toilets use 3 liters of water. Our shower heads reduce by 40% the water that comes through, but still have aeration. So you feel like you're getting a nice pressure shower head, but you're not wasting it. Yeah.
It goes a step further. Even talk about your laundry and what you've done there.
Well, we decided when we started the first phase of the hotel, we didn't want the laundry room to compromise. See, there's no sewer systems in Manuel Antonio and Caples. So the water has to go somewhere. So if the water is contaminated with bleach, chlorine, all these cleaners, it's going to end up going back into the environment. So we decided from the get-go that we would use all biodegradable products, that we would design the systems, the washroom, so that all the ingredients would be properly mixed into the system so that the least amount of cleaning elements were used. So this hotel has 56 rooms, and we produce, for instance, the garbage of a hotel that has 20 rooms. And because of the fact that the water can leave the hotel and go back in the environment without damaging it, the very reason you came here to enjoy nature, we're not going to compromise it.
Let's jump to food and beverage for a moment. I was fascinated by your composting and your locally producing and sourcing.
I was mentioning that it's been 20 years since I think we ever bought a bag of compost or manure. All of our waste goes into either recycled facilities or it goes into composting. And we also have our own worm productions. We have our own way of producing necessary nutrients so that we can use the waste of the kitchen and use it to grow more vegetables without creating more problems for the sanitation, which has become a problem all over the world. Where do you put the garbage? Well, in our case, we put it back into nature in most cases.
Are people responding to your heightened sensitivity and mission? And obviously, to some point, you have to charge a premium because it costs you more.
Well, when you're shopping for a hotel or a destination, and if you're concerned about what that destination will be like 10, 20 years from now. You want to think twice about picking a destination that is not compromising the very things you've come in to enjoy. Costa Rica, you come here for nature, national parks, you come here for outdoor sports. Everything's tied around the biodiversity of the country. So to protect that biodiversity takes some investment, takes some education, and it takes some change of lifestyle. So we found that by putting our energy into conserving the area, by putting together our own sources, for instance, our own cows to produce our own dairy products, to produce our own eggs, to produce our own vegetables and spices, not only is it less expensive.
There must be some cost efficiency there.
Yeah. It kind of helps to make up for the cost of having all biodegradable detergents, for instance, and other kinds of systems that are more expensive. But it's getting a client to ask the question, what is the difference? And if they're concerned about what they're going to leave behind if they come on a vacation, if they pick a sustainable destination like Green Teak Hotels and some of our colleagues, they can feel better about the fact that they're not only going to enjoy their experience, but they're going to be accomplishing what I think is a responsible holiday.
Listening to you earlier, it sounds like that in general, Costa Rica as a country, as an entity, has a heightened ecological consciousness versus some other places.
Well, I think if you don't have amazing cathedrals, lots of museums, and all those other attractions that bring tourists to your doorstep, and your attractions are your nature attractions that have to do with cathedrals of biodiversity, if you don't watch those attractions, you'll lose your business. So in a way, innocently, the world came to Costa Rica and let the locals know that this is what they enjoyed most. They didn't care whether we had grand cathedrals. They didn't care if we had amazing museums. We had nature as our attraction. Opened the eyes. It allowed the Costa Rican government and the private sector to realize, well, you know what? We got a good thing going here. Let's continue to protect it. So 22% approximately of the country is protected as a reserve, a national park, or a... across the street, for instance, we have our own project, which is the Green Teak Wildlife Refuge. So all these classifications are encouraged by the government, although there are a lot of requirements. We have our own biologists, botanists. Every 90 days, our own reports on how we're handling the biodiversity of our area. So when we talk about doing things that have to do with sustainable practices, the government is also doing their share. Sometimes they fall a little behind, but Costa Rica doesn't have much else to fall back on. This little country needs to protect its natural resources or we'll lose our market share of tourism.
That's why people come.
Yeah, build a field.
Yeah. Going beyond you and your Green Teak Hotel Association, a group of hotels, is there generally a heightened consciousness amongst hoteliers and corporate owners here in the country?
I think so. You'll find the majority of hotels are still boutique. Most of them are under 20 rooms. Majority are family-run, and that's why I think that hospitality that's Costa Rican comes through, because most of the projects are either run by Costa Ricans or expats like myself who work with Costa Ricans and find that this is where we live, this is where we work, and we don't want to spoil our backyard.
Talk to us for a moment about your other properties and my favorite, Drake's Bay.
Well, Drake's Bay, which I mentioned earlier, is the last frontier of Costa Rica. We want to keep it pristine. And so it's difficult to get there, and we want to keep it that way, selfishly speaking, so it doesn't become overdeveloped. And because of Corcovado Foundation, because of other organizations that see the value of Costa Rica's biodiversity, that area has been set aside to be protected. And so you'll find the average hotel there is 12 rooms. And most of what people go there for is nature. You won't find big hotels. You won't find big franchises, discotheques, casinos. Most people there are sleeping by 9 o'clock, and they're up for the first tour at sunrise.
Go see the birds.
Yeah, lots of lapas, which are scarlet macaws. And for sports fishing, for diving, it's probably one of the most amazing places in the world when it comes to fishing, because we have such a lush inventory to fish from. Catch and release, by the way.
There's Caño Island that's off the coast, which is very spiritual, very intense, where the giant round stone balls are found.
Yeah, and you can no longer go there. Because they realized that too many people were damaging the environment by walking around and not staying on the trail. So now you're not allowed. You can dive there, you can fish there, but you can't actually go on the island and traverse it anymore. That's how sensitive the government's become about their natural attractions.
And going back in time in prehistoric days, that was a very intense indigenous spiritual Mecca island, wasn't it?
Well, we're convinced, at least I am, that there were visitors here long before us who made these perfect spheres. I mean, we're talking, today's engineers could not make a more perfect sphere than these particular examples out of nowhere.
They're like up to 12 feet in diameter, correct?
Yeah, some people think they were giant ball bearings for this huge rocket ship. But whatever they came from, it's like Machu Picchu with those perfect cut stones. And still to this day, no one knows how they managed. Well, there's theories, but no one's really convinced me that they didn't come from another place.
Another intense thing about Caño Island is I recall that it's, I think, number 2 spot on planet Earth for lightning strikes.
That I didn't know about. That I wouldn't be surprised. You know, also Irisu is probably one of the most UFO sightings in Central America. So we have a lot of interesting things to talk about when it comes to whether it's lightning strikes or spaceships. There's plenty to see when you come to Costa Rica that are phenomenals, you know.
Talk to us about up in the cloud forest.
Well, President Carazo was one of the previous presidents of this country who had the vision not only to create national parks like Cocos Island and Amistad, but he also was able to see the value of protecting a very important cloud forest, which is in the Canton of San Ramon. Villa Blanca, which originally was built by the president and his family, they set aside 2,000 acres of pristine cloud forest where Villa Blanca now, which we purchased from the family in 2004, sits in the middle of this forest where we have amazing trail systems, a research center, and at night we've set up these infrared cameras with sensors so that we've now capturing 4 of the 6 cats who live in Costa Rica actually go through that system that we have there. So when someone comes and visits Villa Blanca and enjoys the Los Angeles Cloud Forest Private Reserve, they're sitting in a laboratory of nature where a lot of research is done. In the research center, we work with the University of Costa Rica, with the Institute of Biodiversity. And so the students, the guides, and the guests interact at the hotel. So again, Green Teak isn't just a hotel room and a great chef. It's truly a complete experience where you are able to not only discover what nature is about, but many people discover things about themselves, because when they're totally relaxed and they're connected with nature, it's amazing the things they say to each other. For instance, we've never had a TV set in any of our hotel rooms, ever. And sometimes people come and say, well, what are my kids going to do? 24 hours later, they come back and say, we get it. We talked to our kids this time. We enjoyed each other. So we feel that if you can't entertain your clients with all that you have to offer on your properties and everything that we offer as tours and other activities, then we have failed as a host. So we decided in 1992, when we were discussing the designs, in 1994, when we opened the first rooms, a couple of my friends said, well, where are the TV sets? I said, they're back in LA, where they belong.
And let's talk about the holistic approach and where we were today at your property up in the mountains with the village and how you empower and connect and cross-pollinate. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I first went up there, it was to build a little house so I could chill out on the weekends and get back to one of my hobbies, which is landscaping and gardening. And this little village where I built my little house, all the people that lived there were usually older people, parents without kids. And I said, well, you've got to have kids. You're a good Catholic family. All the kids were working in Quepos in resorts and construction and whatever, because there was no way to survive anymore as a farm in a rural community like Santa Juana. So we decided to create a tour. And the tour ended up becoming very popular with clients, not only from Cinco Mono, but from other hotels.
What did the tour consist of?
Authenticity. The tour captured what I discovered when I went there the original time, which is the beautiful scenic countryside, the wonderful biodiversity on the trails, the amazing places that you can swim in natural waterfalls, the tradition of sugarcane with the giant oxen and the trapiche, what it's called, the amazing food, and most important, the hospitality. These were families that were so open to guests, but a bit intimidated. I mean, here is this gringo from Hollywood coming to build a house in the middle of their community. What am I up to? And so we spent a lot of time convincing them that, you know, what they have to offer is so valuable that they need to conserve it. And because their culture is so special, they'll see through the guests who visit from around the world, whose feedback will tell them that, you know what, you have a lot to be proud of. And so the word in Spanish is orgullo. And that pride is why now they're running the lodge that we opened about a year and a half now. And the best reviews we've ever seen from TripAdvisor, and by the way, all the Green Tick hotels are in the 1% rating worldwide for our reviews, fortunately. The best reviews we've ever read have been from the people who run the village of Santa Juana. So to me, that is the foundation, the roots or the races of Costa Rica are the farm families that built this country originally that still have a place that is respected. And when we talk to our guests who say the best thing they did in Costa Rica, they went to Santa Juana, they hiked, they went on horses, they jumped off a cliff into a waterfall, and they had authentic Costa Rican campesino food, which you got to enjoy today.
Yeah, no kidding. All of your properties, they're approachable for normal people, normal travelers, and non-super rich.
Absolutely. In fact, we're not one of these high-end five-star hotels. We have a lot of families. But here, for instance, we have a family pool, we have an adult pool. The way we design our hotels, we attract honeymooners up there in Villa Blanca. In Santa Juana, we do yoga retreats. Our idea is to be as diverse as the diversity, and we do a lot of weddings. For instance, there's a chapel that's a replica of a Roman chapel that President Carranza built for First Lady Estrella's 50th wedding anniversary. So we do weddings there. So we have found 70% of our clients are North Americans, many of them are families, lots of honeymooners. But the welcome mat is out, and we look forward to having not only guests from North America, but we're seeing more and more guests coming from Europe, from Asia, and trying to describe from someone in Beijing the menu. Our guests have to get very patient, and our waiters literally have to draw the chicken and draw the fish, and they're getting to become pretty good artists because we have no clue how to speak Mandarin, let alone read and write it.
You have all-inclusive rates, and what would be a price range?
The only all-inclusive would be Santa Juana because you're out in the middle of nowhere. And we think it's pretty reasonable for $99 plus tax per person with meals included. You're able to enjoy an amazing experience in the rainforest of Santa Juana. We have anywhere from $200 to $400 a night here at Cinco Mano, depending on the category of the room you choose. Our restaurant menus are quite attractive and very reasonable. We have a family menu, kids menus. In Villa Blanca, it's more gourmet, and yet we also attract a lot of nationals. Our price range is very flexible.
For further information.
Call RI97. No. Remember those commercials? Richmond 9? Or? Anyways, to reach us is very easy. It's greentickhotels.com. We have our 800 numbers that you can call. We have our own vacation specialists that design different packages, family packages, honeymoon packages, packages that are wrapped around nature. And we're open 365 days of the year.
Before we go, I was thinking earlier about you mentioning Francis Ford Coppola, some of the other people from Hollywood that come and show up here. Is that partly because of your work in Hollywood?
No. I didn't know these guys when I was back in L.A., but when people come to Costa Rica, usually if they're creative artists, they try to look for unique places to go. Costa Rica is unique to begin with from many destinations, but Mano Antonio being a very special destination with the national park, and Cinco Mano having a history of being a very unique architectural concept. We've seemed to have drawn some of these celebs to our neck of the woods, but it's not because we've looked for them. Fortunately, when they've come, it's been very low-key. I mean, we have had a lot of celebs here, but we usually don't mention it because we don't want them to come here and feel like they got to sign autographs.
Under the radar.
Jimmy Buffett, when he came here, he was working on a book called A Pirate Looks at 50. My brother's a big Parrothead fan. Anyways, he came with his wife and another member of the band. And Jimmy Buffett, you know, the whole thing about margaritas. Well, we found out that Jimmy Buffett could cheat when it came to getting a free margarita. Because we have a contest where you go down the slide, head first, and you have to go across to the bar stool without kicking your feet or using your hands. And we have someone with a mask to make sure you don't cheat. If you make it, you get a free margarita. We caught Jimmy using his hands. Anyways. Nobody's perfect, right?
There you go. One of the guys.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Jim Damales, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Costa Rica.
The underbed music, Cinco Colones, was performed by Orquesta Siva.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.